The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation. Today we have part two of a special laying the foundation for your employee attraction funnel. If you missed part one, go back to the previous episode, check it out before digging into this one so you can get the most value. Enjoy. You're going to get tons of value. Two bits of context. So one, there's really two big things we need. Once you've got the foundation of, you know, your goals and all that stuff, there's really two funnels you need in your business, and that's it. One is a client attraction, one's employee attraction. That's the whole enchilada. If you have, and again, the foundation we touched on a little bit with core values and good pricing and knowing your customers and kind of knowing how many leads been sale. So all that foundational stuff, assuming you've got that done, the only other things you need are a client attraction funnel and employee attraction funnel. That's it. So if it takes you 2 or 3 months to get this thing down, and God forbid costs you $500, $800 or something to test and figure it out, and you just have a solution to your employee problem forever, you got to be okay with that, right? So the problem is, some of us have literally this one funnel can be worth millions of dollars because you can build a multi-million dollar funnel with, or multi-million dollar business with two funnels, client attraction, employee attraction. That's it. Once, when we start, we think clients are the big deal. Once we've established a little, we start realizing talent and labor is really the what we're competing for. That's it. So I don't want you to think like, oh, I got to get this and there's 300 other things. There's really not. Client attraction, employee attraction. Let me give you one other example and we'll dive into the data of how your feelings can affect the reality of what's going on. We'll do it on the client side. So you'll go, oh, that makes sense there. And then you'll be able to see it on the employee side. So the client side, we might have, you know, people come to be like, I had two customers quit or three, whatever the case may be, right? And they start freaking out. And sometimes there is a reason to freak out. The problem is they just freak out because it feels bad, not because they've done any logical thinking. So the thinking process I would give you in that is, what is your acceptable expected churn rate for the year, right? And you might go whatever you pick. So if you're like on commercial, maybe it's 4 clients, depending on the size and all that, whatever. But depending on your size and whether you're commercial or residential, you might say, I'm willing to lose 5 clients a year, 50 clients a year, right? Obviously, the more clients you have, the more you're going to lose. So say your number's 10 clients per year, right? You've got 80 clients, you're willing to lose 10 per year, which is a little high. If it's April and you lose 2, and those are the only 2 that you've lost, we might be okay, right? If it's January 12th and we lost 2, there's probably an issue. So the reason we get so emphatic about the data versus the feelings versus the facts are if our feelings constantly tell us something's wrong, there will be something wrong sometime and we won't know how to fix it. we'll release a real problem where we actually need to call a plumber. We'll think that looks like a kink in our hose and we won't know how to respond. So really important when I give you this data, when you feel like I'm going to give up, I'm going to freak out, nothing works, Mike's full of crap, we're going to just figure out the data and I'm going to teach you what you should be on each one. And if you've got a kink in your hose, how to fix it. Everybody okay with that? Yeah. Okay, cool. And again, as long as you keep your head straight, it'll be fine. And I know, for those of you who know my story, my first cleaning company, I saved up $10,000 back in the 90s when that was a lot of money. And to me, it felt like all the money in the world. I gave it to this guy to buy a ServiceMaster commercial cleaning franchise. I think I borrowed another $55,000, which to me was just like a fortune, right? I was born super, super broke and never, that 10 grand was all I'd ever had. And all my employees quit on the first day. So, I found out that at like 8 a.m. and I was cleaning at 5 p.m. till 4 a.m. And I was started hiring at the Puffer Belly restaurant in Grand Junction, Colorado at 10 a.m. I mean, it was awful. So when I share this stuff with you, like, keep your head. I don't want you to be like, yeah, but Mike's rich or he's never had to go with that. I promise you kids, all this crap I'm telling you to do or asking you to do, I've lost my damn mind and it didn't help. Or actually I couldn't even afford to lose my mind because I gave all the money I had plus borrowed a bunch of money I'd never seen to get this to work. I had no time to lose my mind. So just want to encourage you guys. I know, and you're like, but you don't understand, if they don't show up, I'm going to have to clean, life's going to be, yeah, I'm aware. I clean toilets at 4 a.m.
you know, with three more contracts to go, a backpack on, 8 hours behind me and no sleep. So been there, done that. Feel your pain. All right, let's do this. So here's the data. First and foremost, depending on the time of year, some, if not many, of our clients are able to hire all of their hiring needs with no ad spend. So the lead source that we recommend right off the bat is Indeed.com. I don't love them, but they're kind of like frenemies with me. They're a little bit of a pain in the butt in terms of what they'll let you put, and they've got their strengths and their weaknesses. I'm constantly looking for a better thing. So far, I haven't found one. So Indeed.com is where I'd start. I gotta be honest with you. Typically, when you've got your hiring funnel working, you'll have 1 to 4 times a year where it's like, it needs some tweaking, right? It's not just self-running. You got to go back and pick at it a little bit. But once you've got it running, it should pretty much run autonomously. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do, but it's 2, 3, 4 hours a week of somebody's time. It doesn't have to be yours. And the thing just runs. Aside from if it's breaking more than 4 or 5 times a year, you got something wrong. That said, right now, many of you guys may be aware that the government is paying people effectively to stay home, which makes the job market a little tighter. Doesn't mean this won't work, just means you got to be on your game. So if your hiring funnel is working, this might be one of those times per year anyway, where you got to tweak on it a little bit. The good news is it's a perfect time to start your hiring funnel. Because if you get a hiring funnel that works now, and this is the government can't afford to pay people to stay home forever, right? It's gonna be over pretty quick. If you get your hiring funnel working now when jobs are a little tighter, and when things kind of get back to normal, you're gonna be above and beyond. I'd rather you start now when it's harder than you start when it's easier, think you got it licked, and then something like this happens, you're like, I'm freaking out. You want it reversed. You're like, I've got it kind of in a harder environment, and then when things get back to normal, I'm good. And then when things get harder again, you're like, I've been through this, no big deal. So just want to let you know that's the reality of the situation. And if you are competing for talent based on money in a time like this, you're going to lose. If you compete for talent based on core values, like we talked about yesterday, and you build a community and something special that people want to be a part of, you will get the people, promise you. I've always been able to get, for the last 15 years I've been hiring based on core values. I've always had all the people I needed. They've always been quality. Everyone else is starving for employees. I get good employees, and I'm the same exact way I'm going to teach you. Okay. So typically, could be a little expensive right now. Typically, you don't want to pay more than $1 to $3 per applicant. Okay. So if you're spending $500 a month, sure would be nice to get 300 or 400 applicants, but you might only get 100. But if you get 7, something's horribly wrong. Okay. So typically $1 to $3 an applicant's fair. If you got to go up to $5 an applicant nowadays, it's getting a little expensive, but when things are tight, we'll pay a little more. Okay. So when you come to me and go, I put an ad up 3 weeks ago and I've not got anyone, I'm like, how many did you actually get? 26 people. How much did you spend? $0. Well, that's not your problem. That's not the kink in your hose. Right. So again, depending on the stage that you're at, you might only need 0 to 2 people a month. If that's the case, you can spend $0 to $100 a month, right? If you consistently need 5 or 10, you're gonna have to spend more. I've had guys that needed 20 or 30 per month because they're just a really large company. They might spend $1,500 a month on applications. That's okay. So $1 to $3 per applicant is green. $3 to $6 is yellow. Anything above $6 is red. Okay, so $1 to $3 per applicant. If you suck at this, you might, and just assume, if you're just starting, assume you suck and give yourself complete permission. Be like, I'm okay sucking. That's just fine. You might need 100 applicants to get one hire. Okay. That's not great. That's not where we want to stay. I just want to tell you that at the beginning, so if it happens, you're like, yep, I'm just starting. It's okay if I suck at this, right? When you get pretty good at it, you might get that down to 30 or 40 applicants per hire. Okay. So if, kind of when you're figuring out money, that'll help you. All right. Here's another key thing that we get, and this is probably where most people get hung up. Let me give you the overreaching, and I forgot to show you where we are in the system, but the overreaching overview of the system is we're going to do a hiring ad, which we did yesterday, to, depending on how many we need, we can do organic traffic, which is just us personally posting on Facebook, telling our friends, sending it to them, email lists, whatever, or paid traffic, which would be Indeed, ZipRecruiter, Facebook. You know, there's lots and lots of places you can pay to send traffic to your ad. You're going to go from ad, the call to action ad is going to be to apply. You're going to have an automated system that takes your application and invites them to a group interview. That group interview is going to be the same time, day of the week and place every week. And you're going to have an automated follow-up system with ideally texts, emails. You can even do an automated voicemail, saying, "Hey, Brian," or you can't say their name because it's automated. "Hey, it's Mike. Saw that you applied. Absolutely approved. Or we're going to be doing an interview Monday at the Starbucks at Fifth and Main, 2 o'clock. Be there. There's going to be coffee. There's going to be sugar. It's going to be awesome. If you're all about having fun, making money, being real and helping out, you're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be awesome. See you there." Something like that. So red is anything less than 10% of people showing up. So that's where people freak out, right? So if you get, you put out, and the good news is with the hiring ad that you should have done yesterday, you'll get applicants. If you don't, something's horribly wrong, but you will get applicants. You'll get good applicants. 10%, if 10% come, that's not a kink in your hose, right? So if you're like, "I got 70 applicants this week for my interview," and then 9 people show up, people freak out. "Oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah." It's okay. As long as it's 10% or above. And we've got people getting 30 and 40%, right? So again, 10's not great, but if it's above 10%, that's not a kink in the hose. We're going to keep looking, right? Even though our minds are going to lie to us and go, "Samuel, Hilma, Aaron, no, no, no. You had 50 people and only 5 showed up. Everything's horribly wrong." That's not horribly wrong. Typically 20 to 50% of the interviewees should start. And when, I think I mentioned this in previous days, when you're first starting at this, 1 in 3 will stay more than 90 days. And when you get good at it, 2 in 3 will stay. If you plan on, "I need 3 people, so I'll hire 3 people," you're going to be upset because you might get lucky and that might work once, but it won't work every time. I can promise you. So, I'm going to hit it again really quick. $1 to $3 per applicant is green. $3 to $6 is yellow. Anything above $6-$7 per applicant is pretty freaking expensive. We're in the red. If you're really good at this process and you've done it, you've got it down, you might only need 30 to 50 applicants to get one hire. If you're just starting, it might take you close to 100 applicants to get a hire. Good news is, if you follow a system we teach, with 100 applicants, you daggum well should get one, at least one good candidate in there. This is when I would circle, because this is what people miss and freak out on me the most. As long as 10% or more of the people that apply for your job show up for the first group interview, you're good to go. If you're hiring 20 to 50% of the interviewees, that's fine. You're like, that's a big range. Again, when you're starting, you're not honing in as well. It might be 20%. When you get better, you might get up to 50%. If you're keeping 1 in 3, I'd start for 90 days. My goal would be 2 in 3, right? But we're not going to plan, if we need 5 employees, we're not going to plan on hiring 5 people. We're going to plan on hiring 7 people, knowing that between 1 in 3 and 2 in 3, depending on how good we are at this, is going to stick. So if there is a kink, I'm going to go through each one and go, if this isn't working, if you're like, "Well, I'm red, I'm yellow, I'm not in where I should be. What do I do?" We'll go through each one. So if you're over $1 to $3 per applicant, or really over $6 per applicant, because that would be out of the yellow, you want more organic. The best, your next best employee is probably good friends with your current best employee. When you're just starting, good people tend to hang out with good people. Again, Suzanne and Sean, married, right? I would be shocked. Not that every spouse is going to be a good fit for your company, but I would be shocked if, knowing what I know about Sean, I met Suzanne and she was like a loser and had a bad attitude. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't surprising that her core value match was there. It was just, we got lucky that she had a skill set that we needed, but the core value match was like, obviously Sean's not going to marry someone that's not a high caliber lady. And I know Suzanne's not going to marry someone that's not a high caliber dude. So it worked out well for everybody. Okay. So if your application cost is high, test new sources. Look for more organic sources. And again, it can be anywhere from emailing your list, if you have a list, putting ads in more specific places with less competition, local places. For me, when I was, last time I had kind of more minimum wage workers, was my construction company in Phoenix. I found personally for me in the Phoenix area, Hispanic workers were amazing. We hired a lot of people. Our particular job didn't need English speaking. So we find people that only spoke Spanish that would kind of get taken advantage of, I feel, by other people because they didn't speak English. And we treated them with the love and respect that they deserved, and core values matched. They freaking loved it. So we put ads in Hispanic. We put ads in Spanish, even though I don't speak Spanish, in Hispanic only places, they were cheaper and we'd get a lot more return. Okay. So if you're paying more than, you know, $3 to $6 per applicant, you're going to want to find more organic ways to do it. If you are not hiring 30 to 100 applicants per hire, most people don't have a problem with that. So we're going to move on. That typically just means you're interviewing and you're putting ads in the wrong place, right? So if you're like, I had 100 applicants, they all sucked. Your ad probably is broken. If you use the ad we talked about yesterday, it won't be broken, or you're putting it in the complete wrong place, right? Stupid thing. When I had my cleaning company, I found, again, this isn't for everybody, it's just a guideline I found, but you want to start seeing this so you can tighten up your funnel. For me personally, college kids, not a good fit, which is funny because I was college age. So it is what it is, right? If they're working for beer money, they would quit, right? It's just, that's just how it was. For me, men that had, and I had a commercial company, so it can be different for residential. Men who had full-time jobs and wanted supplemental income for their part-time jobs and they had wives and kids at home were the best. So again, that's probably going to be the true for 60, 70% of you guys that have commercial companies. It's not that I'm trying to tell you that. I want you to start looking for demographics of, you know, am I saying that no college kid ever is a good employee? No, that would be insane. Am I saying every male with a wife and kids at home that had a primary job is going to be a great employee? No, that would be equally insane. But I will tell you, when college kids come in, I'd put them through the ringer a little more. I'd ask more questions. When guys who were married with kids at home, I'd look a little closer and try a little harder to make sure that we gave them every opportunity. So I want you to start identifying what works for you. All right, 10% of applicants should interview. So if you're getting less than that, right? Say you had 50 or 60 applicants in your funnel and only two show up to your group interview, the follow-up funnel is the problem, right? We're not texting enough. We're not texting the right message. Oftentimes the message can be different than the hiring ad, which is bad. Anytime you have an ad, the next thing needs to be in line. Like we teach when it's on client attraction, if I have an ad that looks like this, you know, if I say, hey, pictures of kittens, you know, fun kitten videos, click here, and they click here and I try and sell them something, they're gonna be pissed and I'm not gonna have a good conversion rate. But if I say, are you looking to make more money? And then they click and I give them some sort of offer to make more money, the conversion rate's gonna make more sense, right? So same with you. If you're hiring as super core values, but then your follow-up sequence is super boring and doesn't fit your core values, that's gonna hurt your conversion rate, right? So you wanna make sure your text, your emails, your voicemail, whatever you're doing to follow up with them is in line with what you're doing. You want to make sure it's somewhere that they're reading, right? So if your people don't have smartphones or they don't check their email, you've got to make sure whatever your automated follow-up sequence is doing, the message is right and your people are getting the message. It's clear. Stupid stuff like someone's like, put the wrong address in accidentally. There's a typo. Well, obviously that's going to hurt the conversion rate. They don't know where they're going, right? So when you less than 10% of the people are coming, check your funnel, right? The way that you're following up with them, the messaging you're following up with them, or sometimes just the data is flat out wrong. That's typically the way to unkink that hose. And then the people starting is, again, an indicative of the caliber of applicant you're getting. So if nobody's starting, check your ad and check where you're putting it. And then again, 1 to 3 or 2 to 3 starting has a lot to do with your starting process. That's further in the funnel. We're not going to be able to cover it here, but how you show up throughout the whole funnel, right? Like we talked about yesterday, if the ad's really good and the group interview is really good, but the one-on-one interview sucks. And then when they show up to do their working interview and the guy working next to them is not a core values match at all, they're going to be totally disconnected. We want to use data. So if you're 17 days in and you haven't gotten results, again, sometimes it takes 90 days. It's okay. If you're 91 days in, but you kind of focused on it for a week or two, and then you took a month off and you came back for a week. When I say 90 days, typically it can take you actually running the funnel and tweaking it, making it a little better. Sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, my first group interview, I had 4 or 5 people show up. I hired 2 of them. It was great. Sometimes people be like, I had my first interview, I only had 17 applicants. No one showed up. That's okay. Right? That's, you were there. It's okay. The biggest roadblock or mistake I see people making consistently is this thing works like gangbusters. We've done this over and over and they finally get it working and it crushes it. They'll be like, holy crap, I need 1 or 2 people a week or a month and I'll have 4 or 5 or 6 people I could hire with this funnel. So I turn it off. And then guys, gals, for those of you that are new in cleaning, people quit in bunches, right? If you have a team of 6, once or twice a year, if two or three or four people all quit in the same week or two, it's not ideal. And it shows that we probably need to work a little more on our core values or our culture, but that's not like insane. Like for, and again, I'm not in the cleaning business. We have a coaching company. I'd be shocked if that happened with the team that we've got now. I've never had that happen, not in the cleaning business, but in the cleaning business, it's not uncommon. So the biggest mistake you can make is when this starts working, go, oh, I can turn it off. And it's fine to dial up and down your budget. That's another thing I want to encourage y'all to do. If, what would you pay in a year if you're like, I'll never have to worry about, I'll have all the employees I need till the end of time. What would you pay in a year? Most of you would be like, I'd pay $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, right? If I had all the employees I needed, but then we turn down the budget. So if 1 month or even 2 months out of the year, even if you only need to hire 20 or 30 people or 40 people in a year, if 1 or 2 months you have to spend $800 or $1,200 and it feels insane, don't do the math. Like that's $15,000 a year. Some months you might spend nothing, right? So it's okay to dial up and down your budget so you have more or less traffic in your funnel. We never turn it off, right? We always have a group interview every week. Don't, and I'm trust me, I've heard all, well, I'll do it every other week. I'll do the, there's always a reason to do it, and it never works. It always blows up in the face. So just make sure you do it every week. We're always hiring, and it is a lie from the pit of hell. Your monkey brain is telling you, I can't have an interview if I don't know exactly what I'm gonna hire and who I'm gonna do and what they're gonna do and have 40 hours of work waiting for them. If I don't have that, I can't start interviewing. If that's your mindset, you're gonna be screwed. If you have a cleaning company, you either need someone now or you're gonna need someone next 2 or 3 weeks, I promise you. And it takes a couple of weeks to get someone on. So never, ever, 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 ever stop hiring. That's a big one. Here's the action items. One, figure out with the math we did how many applicants, interviews, and starts you need to hit your goals. So we're going to work backwards. I'll do a quick math. So let's just say we need 2 employees, right? By the end of the month. Some of you guys will be more, some will be less. I get that. If I'm just starting, I'm going to be like, I'm going to hire 4 just to be sure, right? Because, and guess what? If we hire 4 planning on 2 to leave and 2 to stay and only 1 leaves and we have a bonus employee, I don't think y'all yell at me. It'll be okay, right? So now we know we need 4. If we're like, we need 4, I'm going to go, you know, based on the numbers I gave you, we might need, say, a third of the interviewees, people that show up, we actually start. Well, that means I need 12 interviewees, right, for my first interview, and then that'll matriculate with the second and third interview down to 4 that actually start. And if you're like, I'm going to go worst case scenario, 100 applicants or 10% of my applicants are going to show up for the interview. If I need 12 people to show up for the interview, that's 120 applicants. Does that make sense? And again, with organic traffic, you can spend no money to get 120. It's either time or money, by the way, for whether you're trying to get customers or employees. There's lots of free ways to get employees to look at, to go through your funnel, look at your hiring ad and all that stuff. Would they just take time? Or you can give Indeed or Facebook a bunch of money and they'll just do it for you. So same with marketing. When people are like, should I telemarket? Should I cold call? It's time or money, kids. you can pay someone to do a bunch of work. You can do it yourself. So I'm okay with either, but figure out I'm going to commit X amount of time to get this 120 applicants over the next month, or I'm just going to throw $500 at it and that should do it. Right? So we're going to start with how many people we need to keep. Then we're going to reverse engineer to how many I need to hire to get that many to stay. And then we're going to reverse engineer to go, okay, how many need to show up for the first interview for me to hire the people I need? And then how many applications do I need to get people to show up on that interview? And then how much time or money do I need to spend to get that many applicants to come in? Once you've done it a couple times, you'll be able to go through it. So step one is figure out how many employees you need. So, and you can probably go through till the end of the month, the next 30 days, however you want to do it. But just like that next level client we had that needed 6. And on the 20th, she's like, I've only got 4. I'm freaking out. I'm like, you're right on track, right? Had she not had a goal of what she needed, she could have just freaked out. She wouldn't know if she's on or off track. So really important for you to get the numbers of, and here's just like Tracy said, it's okay. If you have your, I'm going to spend this much money and get this many applicants and get this many people to show up for the interview and this many to start and this many to stick. And then a month from now, you look back and go, whoo, wasn't even close, right? At least you've got a baseline. And in the program, we have a spreadsheet to track this. It's not a complex spreadsheet. You can make one of your own, right? So track how many applicants, interview starts, show up, and just pro forma it out. Like, here's what I say is going to happen over the next month. And then once you track it, you'll have data. So you're like, I thought 10% were going to show up, actually 20 showed up. Or I thought, whatever you thought, you can replace with actual data as you start tracking. You always want to just give you guys extra value. And again, if nobody does anything, it will all have been wasted. But if all this extra value gets you guys to get out of cleaning and go from cleaner to owner and really be the entrepreneur that, if you ask me, God created you to be, I really feel like we are put on this earth to do something special. And if you're here, you've invested the time. It's not very much money, but time is substantial to do this. God didn't put you on the earth to be an employee, and there's nothing wrong with employees. I love employees. I've been an employee. For people, that's what they're supposed to do. If this is who you are and this is what you're supposed to do, nothing more heartbreaking. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've got a kid that's kind of fat and slow and wants to play video games, that's okay. But if you've got a kid that's a premier athlete and this gifted ability, and he wants to sit home and play, you know, video games, you're like, that's not, you've got this beautiful gift. So my belief is, if you're here, there's a reason, right? This is something that's important to you. So I really, really want to encourage you. These action items are the magic.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. At 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.